Let us just pray. Father, we thank you. This is difficult time, Father, for us now in this place, in this fellowship, Lord. We know, Father, trials and tribulation will come. But there is always suffering, Father, in this world. And we know that Lord Satan is always on his prowl, Father, like a lion, seeking those whom he may devour. And we know that, Lord, he is your adversary, and he is also our adversary, Father. And that we need to be very watchful in this hour, Father, Lord. And we know, Father, we might yield ourselves to temptation because of frustration, because of things that happen in our life, in our family life, in the church, and in our, even within ourselves, Father. We know, Lord, when Satan sees a person and there is no fight in that person, we know, Lord, that's the end of it. And even the same thing with the church, Lord, as the body of Christ. And as we see, oh Lord, the examples, oh Lord, shown in us, to us in the Bible, in the various churches out there in the days of Paul, Father, where all the carnality that took place back then, and we also know, Lord, the frustrations of the saints, and even Paul, even Lord, get very upset. And we know, Lord, there's nothing good in this flesh. There's always the emotion, there is always the reason in our mind, Father, about this and that, and we start to judge this and that, and we get also upset with a lot of things in this life, Father. Lord, if we have been in this truth for so many years, many of us, Lord, have still yet not matured. And it's a very sad thing, Father, in our life, in the life of your people. But Lord, we know that you have not given up hope in many of us, Father. Because we know, Father, in the Church of the Living God, there are always three kinds of people. And we also know, Lord, the worst of all kinds is that one that is a make-believer. We know that the unbeliever will know who he is, or who she is, Lord. And we also know those who are true believers, those that stand for the truth, Lord, in this hour. But we know, Lord, true worshippers that worship God in spirit and in truth will always run back to the very word of God and seek shelter in the arms of Christ, O Lord. So, Father, we ask for your grace this morning now. Let my heart not be troubled. And we ask for grace, O Lord, to see us through in this difficult time. Even now, Lord, we pray for the family and the couple, O Lord, that are in a strained situation. That, Lord, your grace will see them through and bring them together again. And let all those, O Father, with all the opinions in their hands, O Lord, be it the in-laws or whatever, Father, family members or colleagues or friends or whatever, Father, in trying to help, let every one of us have wisdom, Father. Many times, Lord, in helping, we do not know what comes out from our mouth and only make things worse than it should be, Father. Asking for wisdom upon every one of us, Lord, we know sometimes, Lord, things are not so easily discerned. But we have always, O Lord, those who might think that they know what they are doing. And help us to remember what Socrates said, O Lord, that we shall always remember the things that we do not know. Don't think those things that we do not know, that we know them, Father. The thing that we do not understand, if we don't understand those things, that we shouldn't therefore try to say that we do understand when we don't. We only create problems one for another. And help us to be humble, Father. Asking for your grace today, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive me my if I get too upset in my heart. This is a situation that cannot be solved overnight. A situation that will always be lingering around for a long, long time. And the only thing is that each individual one of us, how we take what we have in God His grace, His mercy, His word, His love, His strength, and use it. You know, Satan will always try to destroy the children of God. You know, through all these many years now in this fellowship here, we have gone through a lot of problems. We have a lot of fights among ourselves. And as the Bible says, surely, you know, the enemy is from within. You know, we fight, we struggle, we envy. We do all things just because of our flesh and our pride. And I say this, that you all know, 6 weeks, as I said before I make the trip to preparing for the trip to Fiji. In fact, before that, I was trying to contact Brother Tui. And I couldn't get him because he was away from Fiji. And he was being sent to Korea, to Japan, to China, things like that. He came back, and then after a few days or so, he went again. So each time I tried to contact him, whether, you know, the convention, whether it had been finalized, but I couldn't get to talk to him until 2 weeks, you know, before the preparation of buying a ticket. It will be 2 months before I flew anyway, and I finally got him, and he told me he's so sorry that he was in China and then in Korea. And he said, yes, Brother Gant, we are going ahead with the convention. So, you know, I was thinking that if the tree is not going on with the convention, you know, I would have canceled it. But since, okay, he wanted, because everybody is looking forward to it, so I bought the ticket, and 2 weeks after the problem started, and many times I said this, whether you believe it or not, I do not know. But I believe God has always got us in the way of bringing us and teaching us something. I had, as I told you, I have a series of messages prepared or stuck up that I will preach. And then we will preach on the gate of heaven and then the gates of hell, and see how that Satan is trying to break down this revelation that we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then after that, I followed by love, grace, and mercy. It was not something that I select because a certain situation was there, because God wanted to be preached even before the situation happened. And that time, of course, you know, Satan had something already up in his sleeve to do what he wanted to do. And Brother Nice called and told me about a brother who had been told by the Lord when they have their regular overnight prayer meeting every month. Every last Friday of every month, they will come together and pray until the morning on Saturday. And he said that the brothers told him to call me and told him what the Lord told him, that there will be problem in this fellowship. Satan is trying to prevent me from going on my next trip, as well as even the Brother Nice also. And that's why Brother Nice called me and says, everything okay? Is your family all right? Is anything happening in your family? Oh, what happened in the church? I says, no, everything is fine. You know, he said, well, we'll continue to pray, and for the church here to pray too. You see, we don't know what's up, but after that, a few days later, you know, the email came, and about the problem started, and trying to figure out how to deal with this issue. And over time, even as I prepared for going over to the convention, we have communion, the feet washing communion. Satan will never arrest. Even at the communion, the feet washing would have a problem. And then it was so heavy on my heart, and it's a real shame that thing happens like this, that we give in to the devil instead of come into a place where we just want to get right with God, want to get right with one another, and come to the place where we have peace with the Lord and with ourselves, with our brother and the sisters. And after all, you know one thing? When I was in New Zealand, Brother Khalid told me, he said, Brother Graham, when we were talking in the car, he asked me a lot of questions, we shared, and then he told me, you know one thing? In one place, Bob Graham, he was preaching a sermon, and he said this, he said, there is coming a great disappointment. Now, I don't know what Brother Graham meant, but there's going to come a great disappointment. Now, with regard to the message that we have, regarding to the truth that he brought, he said there's going to come a great disappointment. Bob Graham also mentioned in one place why we are not denomination and things like that, and how that this message would never be organized. But it did. You know, and when it's organized, all that we see today was a great disappointment. What we see out there in the end time message, all these Branham groups all scattered out, everyone have all kinds of strange doctrines. You know, so where is that standard? You know, the Bible says when the devil comes up against the Lord will raise up a standard against it. But where is that standard in the world, in this end time truth that we have? There's so much carrying on with the quotes of Brother Branham we see, but there's a coming a great disappointment. And I believe that this word, Brother Branham said, I believe that it's only not talking about this great disappointment in the people who believe the message, how they will proliferate into all this extremism and all kinds of things that is going on out there in different countries. Just that we see, of course, in Muslim, in Islamic religion, all that fanatic teaching that gets people to join the jihad and go for the jihad and become a jihadist. You know, and they're willing on the YouTube, they can see mother carrying a little baby, 4 or 5 years old, and was asked, what would you do to protect your child? Or would you let your child be a jihadist or send, you grow up and, you know, put a pack of bombs around the body and blew herself up among the people, you know. He said, the mother said, yeah, I will do that. I will allow that. That's Allah's will and all that stuff, you know. And, you know, we are living in a world that's very scary because the mind has gone mad. We live in a world that people have become crazy. And I tell you this, it is true, that the bottomless pit of Revelation chapter 11, when it starts opening up, in the days when you're going to be let loose in Armageddon, you can see how bad it will be. You see, even now you can see the demons on the loose and coming up and how hideous they really are. You don't see them because you don't see them as physical beings because they are spiritual beings, they are spirit beings. So those spirit comes out and kept people doing all kinds of crazy things, you know. And you know that. The thing that people think about and the thing that people do in their head, you know, and then they bring it out literally to do what they want to do. How terrible they really are, you know. And so we are living in a world that is getting more, is worse than ever before. There are more sicknesses, there are more afflictions physically, mentally, spiritually. The devil is in control of this whole world. Because he's the God of this evil world. You know. So when Baba was saying that there comes a great disappointment, I think that in the sense that the believer is a great disappointment. Because we're supposed to know what we believe, but we end up believing in something very different. And we behave very different. You know. And no church is spared. I want to tell you that no church is spared by the Satan. Whether you are in the other camp, as I said, Branhamism is a scale from 1 to 10, depending on how extreme you are. Some are really extreme, some are not. Some at least they preach from the Bible. And that's good. But when you get all that different churches out there, and here we are here, the devil will also attack us, no matter what. The more truth that we have, we get all so powerful, everything with this and that, and the devil will open our mind. You see, that's how the devil gets to Eve, before she come in. Fornicated physically, what was it that Satan saw in her, in the mind? That's a battlefield. This is the battlefield up here. the black dog and the white dog stuff, you know. So unfortunately, before I went, a few days after the communion, I wrote an email to every one of you. And I pray that you all take heed to what I'm glad anyway, most of you take heed to what was said in the email. When I was there at the convention, I preached what the Lord put in my heart to preach, and we have different people coming from different places, different churches, but except for one church, the pastor whom we have visited in the church years ago, many times. I mean, this last trip was my 6th time. But he didn't come now because he went back again, fall back to Branhamism, to that church in another place, in the capital. He has been going in and out, of course. Don't know where he's going, what he's doing. He just joined this one and the next moment joined another, because he's all confused. We need to know who we are, brother and sister. We need to know what we believe. We need to know who we are. If we do not know who we are, our mind will be muddled up. We do not know what truth is. This moment is this, next moment is that. Somebody come around, give a strange revelation, you follow. But otherwise, we have everybody there. And even we have two Indian believers. They are new converts. Two of our sisters, actually, they were from Hindu background. And also a Vanuatu pilot was baptized 2 years ago, I was told. I think he came with his family from Vanuatu. And otherwise, that's about what we have, and we have a good time of fellowship, just getting to them to encourage them. And one thing for sure, they were very happy, and the brothers, they were saying that to me, and that and Brother T, we were all talking together. They said if it wasn't for this truth that they have, if Brother Tui did not go to Japan for his, the kind of seminar that he went to seven years ago, and if he wasn't having the desire because of that church over there that he was under, and that he left, he knew, he believed that there was the true fivefold ministry. He believed that there are more than just what was preached from the pulpit, quoting the quotes of Brother Branham. So he went to the internet cafe in the hotel that he stayed in the night, and he went, of course, to search, and then he came across our website, and he'd been reading until something like, say, past midnight. Then he went back to bed and tried to sleep, couldn't. He went down again to read long into the night. So that's why he came back to Fiji. That's why he began to share with his people. And the brother said, yeah, if not for the truth, he said, we will be out there. We don't even know what we're believing in. We just go along for the ride, you know. What the boat is going, we just follow the boat, you see. So there are a lot of good testimony out there for what the Lord has done for them. Family life, financial, help from the Lord as well, physical health and all that. We thank the Lord for His goodness anyway. So now I'm going to just show you the picture.
Yeah.
Now when I, you see Brother Khalid, he is the brother of Brother Shamu Khalid, Yaakob, in Pakistan. And remember, he came to fellowship with us back in 2005, 2006, something like that, when we were in AA hall. He came to fellowship with us, and then he invited me to go to have a convention over in Pakistan. So I went there twice, And you know, the third time I was supposed to be there, I bought the ticket, I have already have the visa, everything prepared. And there's a meeting was supposed to be in Islamabad, up there near the north, where you have all that bad activity going on, and also the Taliban are also there as well. And so, the two brothers who was army men, two soldiers, they were the one who made the preparation. So they put a poster out on the street, stick to the wall, whatever. The meeting will be such a hall and everything arranged and everything. And then, of course, unfortunately, one of the senior army men happened to see the poster and found their name underneath the poster, you know, just below poster organized by these two brothers. And that's when the army man called them up and says, "You want everybody to die in the hall?" or something like that, you know. He said, "You put your name there in that poster, and they know that you are soldiers. If they're thinking that everybody in the hall are soldiers, and you get somebody out just to throw a grenade or a bomb in there, and everybody get blown up." You know, they should not have put their name on the poster. So then immediately, Shambu called me up and said, "Brother, you have to cancel this because it's too dangerous. The brother make a mistake by putting their name down there and the army, you know, army man." So that's when I have to cancel my trip. So, but Pakistan now is no longer a place safe to go for meetings now. A lot of things can happen there. So Brother Khalid, this Brother Khalid, he is the brother now. He is seeking asylum in Fiji. And so he got it, and so he stayed there and invite me to say, "Brother Khalid, you must come when you go to Fiji." Now, traveling to Auckland is 2 hours longer than traveling to Sydney, okay? And from Sydney to Brisbane to Nandi is the same 3 hours flight from Auckland as well. So I just spent 2 hours on the plane, you know. So anyway, I go just well for his sickness. He said, "Brother, no, I have a lot of questions. Come fellowship with me." I went. Now, when I went, he prepared everything for me. Unfortunately, when I arrived, he told me at the airport, "Bergen, I'm sorry, I cannot put you in my home. I was trying to put you, we were thinking of putting you in a hotel, but there is a sister, a Christian, from the Assemblies of God, who you will stay with." So now, he sent about 3,000 Indian and Pakistani people there in that Auckland city. So, there's some sort of a community, you know. So, because they help him, he helped them, and so on. So, he said, one of the Christian in there, mother passed away, so, you know, there are visitors coming from Nandi, coming from India or Pakistan, and I have put a couple there in my home, so there's no place for you. You have to bless. I said, "Okay, no, fine." So, I stay with this brother, Indian sister, her name is Pushpa. She's from the Assemblies of God. She only understood Hindi and Urdu and speaks English. And that's her husband, Charles. And so Charles was a Baptist. So he goes to Baptist church on Sunday. She goes to Assemblies of God, you know, and he doesn't believe in all this tongue thing, you know. But anyway, that's what happened, I guess. So I stayed with him, we had a fine time, and he asked a lot of questions. He likes to read and like to. So I shared with him, I shared with Sister Pushpa here, and she began to understand some of the things that what we believe. And she said, "I'm blessed and I understand, you know, about this jewelry stuff now, why we shouldn't help that." And I was good. And well, I was supposed to be for one night, but it wasn't so because Brother Khalid was so busy, that's why I stayed there another night. That was on Sunday, so Sunday. We went to church, you know, Brother Khalid attended the church, the message church, it was alright. I think there was a good message the pastor preached, and then we started to talk and, you know, fellowship a little bit, and then Brother Khalid said, "Okay, Brother, now I'm going to attend a memorial service, you know, at 3 o'clock, so the service ends after 12:30, and so we talk until maybe 1 something. Okay, are you there? I'll take you home and you rest, and I'll go to the funeral service. I don't want to just be left at home," and then he goes, "No, I'll go with you." You know, so I was hungry. He said, okay, brother, what you want to eat? I said, what you want to eat? But you want to go to a restaurant? I said, no, don't waste money on a restaurant or some of this, you know, to a very expensive, because Oakland are really expensive. And so he said, okay, what do you want to eat? There's the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and there's the sushi thing, there is a kebab, and there is a Subway. I said, okay, let's go to Subway. So we went to Subway. There were, nobody that particularly, and I went in and I saw the Subway. I was always going for beef, roast beef. So I look at the roast beef, and you know, the roast beef is all round slices, but I look at it, there's some green color on it, and a little bit of orange color on it. No, it just struck my mind, because I was hungry, I was so tired, and all this, you know, changing of time. It was cold. And now it was very cold. So all these things was in no problem they were getting onto my body, that I didn't realize what the green stuff was. So I said, what is that green thing? And the staff was preparing it, they have gloves, the transparent gloves. So, oh, this oxygen. And for the moment, I said, what oxygen? See, yeah, it's oxygen. So you put a hand there to, you know, turn the layers. See, there, every one of them have it in between. I said, this is some kind of new technology that infuse oxygen into meat. You know, did register that it is Modi. I mean, something very odd, definitely, huh? Then I said, no, I don't want that. Then she said, oh, you want meatballs? And the meatball was, of course, in the gravy, was hot then. Okay, give me meatballs. Okay, so after I was given, and we drove, and I was eating the car, we went to the memorial service, and by the time we reached there, it was 3:30, and I was eating and in the car and all that. Oh my. My stomach started to churn. You know, after half an hour, somewhere in the toilet, so I thought it was normal, I thought maybe. Then after a few hours again, I went. So I was thinking maybe it was the meatball that was contaminated as well. Then I realized maybe it was because of the gloves. She was, you know, turning it. And then after that I realized it wasn't oxygen. It was more. I should take a picture and then take a picture of the whole thing and expose everything in the internet. Everybody like to do that. So that's what Barakas should do that. So anyway, it was gone. So the whole evening I was having diarrhea and all the disturbances. Then, of course, the following day, it's Monday. Monday is when I travel. Okay, to Nandi. And I'm having diarrhea. So we get to the airport. Now, flight was supposed, we have to be at the airport early. You know, the flight was 12:55. Okay, so we have to be there at around 10 something, you know. So we got up, 8 o'clock, eat something, was still diarrhea and all that. Went to the airport, was so, I was so feeling really sick with that thing. Because in the home, I asked Barakali, do you have ginger? Do you have apple cider vinegar? Or do you have any wine here that could kill it? He said, no, I don't have nothing. Yeah, okay. So in the morning when I went to the airport, I said, I need a small glass of wine. So we paid $11 for a small glass of wine. I took it. And it helps to ease them for quite a good while. But so we enter now into the lounge. The plane took off on time. Up went the plane. 15 minutes later, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. I'm sorry that to tell you that we have a little emergency here, but there's nothing serious. It's just that my fuel gauge is telling me that we do not have enough fuel to reach Nandi. So we have to turn back and land at the Auckland Airport, but it will be a normal landing, so do not be afraid. Nothing serious, just normal landing. It will be okay. So 15 minutes later, we landed. So it's already half an hour gone. We ended up in the tarmac. So, ladies and gentlemen, please sit in your seat, and we just get the engineers to come here and see what's the problem with the gauge. All right, we'll just be around here for half an hour. Okay, so the engineer came. Looks like two or three of them came. And then, well, I guess they might have been knocking the gauge to see whether the gauge level goes up or down. I don't know. And he was doing that. Half an hour later, all right, the owner came and said, All right, sorry that we have to wait a little longer because the engineer said they need to do a test. So half an hour passed by, it's already passed 1 hour, more than an hour now. And then the captain said, oh, ladies, you know, the problem is serious than we thought, so we have to get you back to the lounge. So give him the bath and throw us to the lounge. So we were given $12 vouchers, and vouchers are really like vouchers anyway, because when we bought, $12, why is $12? One bottle of water is $4. 1 liter bottle packet of yogurt, you know, no wonder you normally buy for here, but dollar something is $3.50. And that New Zealand money. Two slices of egg and lettuce sandwich, $7. My goodness. So I have to, you know, use that amount, exactly whatever I can get, and eat that. Okay, so we just hang around the lounge and look at the monitor. Plane ticket off, 3 p.m. 2 hours past 3 p.m. So we sit there. I go to the toilet again. Every 1 hour, half an hour, I go to the toilet. Until you know how it burns at the bottom. Huh? And then after that, 4 p.m., 6 p.m., I'm getting hungry. So I went to change money. I need food. So I went to change money. And I have Fijian dollars with me because we were there in 2011. So I went to the money changer. I said, okay, I want to change Fijian. No problem. I took out the $5 note. He looked at me and said, that money is no good. I said, what do you mean no good? That's money. He said, no, that money is no longer, can never be used anymore. I said, since when? Since last year. I said, but this is a legal tenant. Yeah, but the government there over in Fiji said, no, this the money is no more used since last year. So maybe you could try and change it at the bank over there in Fiji. I said, okay, now look for the $10 note. $10 Fiji. I said, what about this one? This one good? Ah, this one is good. Okay, so I had two $10 notes, so I changed $20. $20 I shall get about 12 something. I only got 9 something. The exchange rate there is terrible at the airport. So what can I do? I only got 9 something. I said, you know, bought what I can eat. And then I look at the monitor. 8 o'clock! 8 o'clock! My goodness, already time when I'm feeling very sick and the airport is cold. I didn't have my long john on. I didn't expect to be there so long and I'm feeling cold. And my tummy is, I'm feeling sick. I said, Lord, I think I just return home. You know, I just feel so bad already, you know. So, then at PM, I saw these three stewardess came down from the same plane. They came to have their food because they had been on board the plane for so long. So they came down. So I talked to one of them you know, I said, what happened to the plane? He said, well, the problem with the plane is that we are very fortunate we landed. Why? He said, because when the engineer investigated, they found that the fuel pump was not pumping from the wing to the fuselage, and whatever we have in the fuselage will carry us, I don't know how long, and then end in the sea. So the fuel gap was not pumping. So you just imagine if we have a daredevil, may do kind of a pilot, you know, say, ah, maybe the gate is just not up the spring, not working, or what is not working, or electronic, whatever, you know. And then we have ended up in the sea. And it's cold out there. So most of the passengers were not told about this when we went on board, because they have a new pilot coming on, because the pilot cannot go beyond 12 hours. So they sent a new pilot. So we took off at 9 o'clock. But before I took off, it was 8 p.m., I was already feeling so bad and asked the steward, said, what can Fiji Airways do for me? I'm having all this problem and, you know, all that. So what? Talk to the staff. Talk to the counter staff. So with that, there came a counter staff. I said, what can you do for me? I have this and, you know, I hear the hotspot's not working. The you know, the Apple wireless, huh? It says connected, but it doesn't work. Okay, so they try to call and talk to the people. They say, oh, we don't know what actually happened. Then I said, what can you do for me? I said, she come out with a $15 voucher. And my stomach was so bad, I went and immediately took another shot of wine because I had to kill that bacteria, you know, that clean it up. So I took another bottle of wine. I was just already, you know, I even a small little bit of wine will make me go like this. And I was cold, and she gave me a blanket, and I've got some yogurt to eat, and some fruits. One banana is 150. So I ate the banana and an apple and a yogurt and some cookies, I guess, and just stayed there until 9 p.m. When we got over to Nandi, it was 1 a.m. in the morning. And it was such a long flight, a short, long flight. And the very same flight, when I came back to Singapore, I saw the flight, same number, same flight time, delayed to 2 o'clock. And then I don't know what happened. It's probably that the plane having a lot of problem. It's a new plane, but it's still having a lot of problems. It's a 777. Well, anyway, I guess that you see how the devil tried to prevent me from going. I was so bad and upset and things like that, nothing really bad. You see, and even before the convention, I could minister the word with all this problem. And well, anyway, I was there and I reached there at past midnight of Monday, so it became a Tuesday, so the meeting started on Thursday. So anyway, I had time to recuperate. I immediately got myself electrolyte, and started to drink them to keep the balance of the lost minerals. And at least I built myself up and started to eat whatever I can, you know. And it was good. The following days, I feel better. Brother Tui and the young brothers there in the church, they are very helpful. They got a hotel room for me. But it was made of wood, and when I tried to sleep, people upstairs was running around. It just make a board, so the whole place is resonant with a lot of noise. Footstep, you open a drawer upstairs, you can hear the sound, pulling the drawer, wrong, but because it was just make of wood. And it's just impossible to sleep, so they put the earplug on. I tried to get as much sleep as I can. The weather was fine, except for the night, which was cool, and it was a drive. Fiji at this time was dry, there was no rain for many weeks now, and the grass was all brown. They burned the stubbles of the sugar cane, and so the dust was flying around. And just imagine it gets into my throat, you know. But anyway, I ministered for the eight services, 4 days of service, and eight messages to share with them. And so from there, of course, I fly from Auckland to Fiji, or next. Let's hit the button. Yeah. Well, this is the brother. His name is Nelson Augusti. I put my streamer on my website 2 days before I went to Auckland, saying that I would be in Auckland and then to Fiji. So, immediately the following evening, this brother, he's a Catholic. He wrote to me because he said, I was told by my cousin Elizabeth. He said, how is her last name here? Said that Brother God will be here in Auckland, you know, go visit, find out where he is going. So he wrote me an email. So I told him I'm staying with this person and give the address, the telephone number. He called and he came. He had a lot of questions to ask, being a Catholic. And that he says, I'm a Catholic, my family are all Catholic. When I say, go to church, everybody will go, even the children are adult and married. But he says, I'm not going to church, Catholic church anyway, anymore. I know that there are a lot of truths that I don't know. I don't know what the churches believe. I don't even know what I'm believing. So I'm wanting to look into the Bible. I want to understand more about the Word. I have a lot of questions. So we sat and we talked, and I gave him some book. And the first day he came and did, and the last day also he came before I left, the day before I left Auckland, he also came, and we have a talk, and for a good while. And he read the original sin book, and also the logo. I said, read these two books, and then at least you understand the basic of the one God that you believe in, or whether it's a Trinity, and what's the original sin. So with that he read, and he got some questions, he came and asked me, so I laid it out for him. Then he was very, very blessed. He said, I really understand what you're saying, trying to say, and I'm learning. So I prayed, I told him, I said, if you are finding a perfection, you will not find one. You see? And I said, you need to give your life to the Lord and begin to learn and walk in the light. Or else you cannot find one that's perfect, and then you go. Alright? Next. There's another selfie. Short. Okay, next. Now this is the church, Baruch Khalid. Who goes to, that's the Pastor Derek. Alright, next.
So it looks like they, of course, are Indian people, they have Fijian people, and some of them are actually from Africa as well and different places. And here is Fiji now. Okay, there's a table of food, as you can see. This is the Brother Aquila, and there's Brother Sam. They are from Suva. And he's pastored over there in the church. That is his younger brother. Okay, his brother, younger brother still hold on to the coach of Brother Bam, and he doesn't even know what his preaching is. So the brother left after several years ago, and Brother Tui went over there to share with them the truth, and then, you know, and they left. But some of them still hold on to that. And you can see, as a sister will be sitting here, and always there are some young sister take turns. You know what they are doing there, sitting there, swapping the fly. They make us very comfortable. You eat, I swat the fly. Alright. Next. You have a crab, and you have curry and all that. Okay, you see this piece? Okay, next. So what is this brother? That is Brother Sam. Sammy. You know, he's a diver. And so when I was sitting at the table eating, I saw this brother in the back there. I said, what one day are they doing? You know, when they're all sitting down there, you know. So I went there, I saw the pot that was covered. I said, what's inside? I want to see. I demand to see. So I opened up, and it was stirring. He said, oh my goodness. It was, they bought a cow. They bought two pigs for the whole of the convention. So they chopped the cow, they killed the slaughter of the cow, they chopped the cow, and all the, you know, over here come Malay called tulang, eh? The bones and everything, they boiled. And let's start with our vegetables. Now next, you can see the next one. Yeah, I can see this tulang here. Mixed vegetable. I said, oh my, it looks so good. I want the biggest piece there you can get. So they took up and I said, you have been hiding this from us, huh? So they took it and made a table and have a nice piece. Next. See this piece? That's the tulang. That's the joint of the, I think it's the leg or, you know, elbow joint. And it was delicious. And the pork, a brother cooked the pork, the pig, pork, mean the pork, and it's sweet and sour. My goodness, I think it's the best I've ever eaten. I don't think any Chinese can beat that. It was so unique, the taste, and sweet and sour, and so soft and nice. Next. Right? Next. Alright, good. This place, this building here, that he used, it was a blessing the Lord. That Brother Tui found out. It belongs to a Korean who was planting noni. You know, noni plant? You know noni? You know what noni is? Okay. For the last 3 years, but the business went, but it seems that they were not doing, they were not taking care of it, the owner, and so the place was left. But it was native land. Native land. They cannot do anything of this. For culture means agriculture, for this means this. So it was left, you know, abandoned like that, not being used. So Brother Tui asked, you know, we can use it. Go ahead, use it. Now after the convention, he met the owner and says, we want to use this every Sunday. He said, okay, go ahead and use it. You know, so they're going to move the place, the fellowship over there. It's not far from Brother Tui's home. The airport is near Brother Tui's home. The hotel is near Brother Tui's home. This place is near Brother Tui's home. Brother Tui's place is a town called Namaka. Now, Namaka is getting bigger than the Nadi town, which is on the lowland, and every year the flood is there. And there was one time he said there was flooding was so bad that they have to send an army to get the mud off the place. Okay, next. All right. Just go ahead. One by one. See the congregation here? This is a nice place now. All right. Okay. Alright, okay, now I go ahead. Now look at this brother all still are getting bigger than you then you first remember you see that Brother Henry. Alright. this old man, go back. His name is Momo. Now he's still here, he's faithful, he's old now, he walks slower now. Okay? All right, this is the whole, everybody comes out and take pictures. As usual. Or you can see the building over there, the farms, all these are, you see, it's only about 3 acres or something like that out there, not being used. All right? See, these are the cooks, these are the ones that prepare. But this is a new Indian sister. They came and they're all very helpful. This is the brother who cooks the sweet and sour pork. They're all helping to strip the meat off. Okay, next. You see how the meat are? You use your hand to strip off the meat and I don't know what, the meat, something prepared for the people. Alright, next. Okay, this is a, that is a, I can't remember what they were doing here. Yeah. Next. Alright. See this man, this brother is bigger than you, bigger than he was now. Oh, they eat a lot. He said, brother, you stay 3 months, you'll be fat. Okay, next. You see the what's on the roof? Next. Continue. Next. See what's on the roof? Next. See this? What do you see? That's the hoof of the cow. They put it in the fire to let it roast, and then they put it in the sun. I said, what do you do with it? Well, you're going to eat it. Says they're jerky. See, they eat everything, you know? Okay, next. Now, this brother, I think, with the other brother, they went with us last time, every time when we go up to the island. So they are getting bigger now, as you see. Okay. They are nice brother. They are very wonderful. They are very nice people. Okay, this is the brother who do the sweet and sour pork. Alright, next. Next? Never mind. Upside down, all the singles. Okay, next. So that's what they eat, and then when they sit down there, they eat and they have a wonderful time. Next. Sister preparing for the evening, what we call, I mean, the dessert, snack in the night. Right. Yeah, the airport, they sent me an airport, the whole team came, practically almost everybody who can come, they come. And I see this is a sister, three sisters, there's a mother, that one that sing a nice voice. And now she is married with two children and she's already all putting on weight now. It's not easy for them to put on weight. This is brother to his daughter. Still not married. Next. This is a family that I don't know where they're from, I forgot. They're from some other area. Okay, next. Okay, this, okay, turn this around. This is the pilot from Vanuatu, and he's new to the message, and great to the church. Is that he's a wife, a son, and daughter. So he flew them here from Vanuatu. Right. This family. Brother Khalid, when I went back to Auckland, Brother Khalid and his wife was worked as a what do you call a beautician. Okay, and she married him, came over here, and that's the son, Salom. He's 2 years old, and he's very quick to learn.
Quarters?
All three quarters.
The cow to be nominated to the back of the house for a fellowship. And the priest will we have fellowship 2011 is this place. The constructor is still here, old. We just use it, they didn't dismantle it.
So they come, they had a church in this place for all this time since, like, 2011. But now they found that place, they're going to move over to that place.
The last time they had it all over here to the end. I will use this for Sunday service. Let's go.
So just remember, this is village life. This is Fiji. There are a lot of people that come here. The fellowship, so the whole place is always cluttered, messy, and they bring them after the service. So this is the back door to the kitchen.
That's for the kitchen room. that's Brother Kula, and that's Sister Kala, and this is Anna from New Zealand.
This is Anna from New Zealand.
This is her house.
Her husband passed away 2 years ago. And she came from Auckland to come fellowship because she is a Fijian as well. But they're all wonderful people. All right, so much for that. Let us turn to the Bible now. To the book of Hebrew, chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 1 Corinthians 10. 1-24. Moreover, brother, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual rock? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, or were, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Nevertheless, commit fornication, as some of them committed, and found in one day 320,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Don't murmur, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for our examples. Remember that. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. So don't think that you are, you know, more spiritual than others. And if you think that you know what you are doing, what you are saying, and your judgment is better than others, then you find that if you think that you are, that you stand well, take heed that you might fall. Okay? There have no temptation taken you for such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, free from idolatry, I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. The cup of the blessing which bless, it is not the communion, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partaker of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of their sacrifices, partaker of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything? But I said that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to the devil, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You think you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but another man's. The word wealth is not the original. So let us not seek our own, but what others have. Spiritual thing, not material thing. The word wealth doesn't mean, you know, material thing. What others have that we can spiritually gain. Alright, now I want to draw here a little for us to look at as an example. You know what a church is, don't you? Every one of us know what a church is. Okay, so you have church. CH. And then we have CH here. Now we know that the church
is not a church. If you are not in it, you get a point here? The church is not a church if you are not in it. Now you say, okay, but the church doesn't mean that you are the only one. Huh? You don't think you come to the church, you are so important that I am the one everybody must pay attention to me. I'm the one, you know, I'm the big guy, I'm the important guy. Remember that. The other thing is this. You are in the center of the church. But consider him or her on your right. Consider him or her on your left. That's the church. You sit down there, consider him who's sitting next to you. Consider her that is sitting next to you. For you are only a part of the church. It doesn't mean that you are in the center of it. If you want to be the big guy, then humble yourself. That is the thing we need to understand about this. The church has a function. Every one of us know that the church has a function. It's a body function. It's an organism. It's not an organization. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's an organism. So an organism like the body has certain gifts. And everyone, you like it or not, we are a gift to each other. When I was in Fiji, I asked them, how many of you here when you go to take your bath or your shower, what do you normally do when you go to the bath or to the shower? What is the most important part of your body that you pay so much attention to? What is the most important part? Your face. It's all your face. It's all about your face. Is that not true? Your face is what shows your presence. If you come into a building or into a fellowship or into an office, you hook yourself with a McDonald's takeaway bag. Hey, come in. And you enter into your office or into a church, nobody sees your face, right? Nobody knows who you are if you are a total stranger. Nobody sees your face, nobody knows who you are. You see, your face is you. And that's why we pay so much attention, it's me, my face. And which is the less important part that you pay attention to? I ask them, it's your feet. We don't bother with our feet. We go to somewhere and we don't wash our feet, literally. We stand there, scrub ourselves and our feet, we just left feet, rub the right feet, rub the left feet. Is it not true? That's what we all do. So we don't pay much attention to the poor feet when the poor feet holds up the weight of your body every day when you walk, when you carry things, when you stand. The pair of feet, it's just carrying the whole weight and the soreness that they bear when they walk. And yet, we pay so little attention to that feet. How wonderful. You see. Until our feet complain, then we pay attention. Otherwise, we don't. So, I told the church over there, when you go to shower, please, hold up your feet, rub it, and say to the feet, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't pay attention to you. You know, after a few service later, I asked, how many have you done it? Only one brother did it. Huh? The rest of them just laughed. We don't really pay attention to our feet. So, but that's to show you the importance and the example that what we are reading here. Next few verses that we're going to read just quickly, we're just going to have a little short messages, a message anyway. So important, what Paul is saying here, we promote ourselves one another to love. And when we do that, we should remember what happened to Israel. They tasted all the good things of the Lord out there and they all died of them. Okay? And we partake the cup of the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot partake of the cup of the devil. Whatever doctrine may be, even our behavior, even our character, which is contrary. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 19 to 23. The law by wisdom have framed the earth, by understanding have he established the heaven. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the cloud dropped down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes, but keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You know, the proverb is talking about wisdom, knowledge. And in all that we have learned, and the Bible says, you gain great knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. And all this that we have learned, anyway, we have all that understanding. What do we do with it? You know, don't be like the Pharisees and Sadducees and have a learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet, we say we have the knowledge of the truth, and yet we don't practice the knowledge of what we have. Right? Alright. Now, the other thing also in God's family. Now we talk about God's family, the church. I always say this, remember I said the word joy. Simple word, I have to have joy. Jesus come first, others come second, you come last. Denomination do not believe in that. Denomination say, first of all, you put your family first, then the church second. Because they say charity begins at home. Huh? Of course, there's a word that everybody uses. If you cannot feed your own family, how can you feed the poor people outside? But if we are talking about the church of God, remember one thing, brother and sister, when you are going to heaven, when you are going into the new heaven, are you going to say, me and my family, we are going to stay one house? That will be the living house. Me and my family, we're going to stay in one house. That will be the Sim's house. Me and my family, we're going to stay in our house. They are called the Gun's house. Is that what it is? Remember one thing. Every one of you, Sister Christabel, when you go up there, your mother is no longer your mother. You don't go up there, mommy, how are you? No, she will be your sister. God has no grandchildren or granddaughter. You understand? So every one of us will be brother and sister. It won't be Christabel is Brother Paul's daughter. It's no longer like this. Here he said, that's a daughter, that's true. But here at the Church of God, everyone have one thing in common. And that is, we all bear a name. The same name. The inheritance which Christ received from the Father and give it to us. His inheritance in the saints, that name that we have. And if so, then how is it that people are still practicing my family comforts? That's bad, isn't it? You know, Bible says when one rejoiced in the church, everybody rejoiced. One suffered, everybody suffered. Right? Unless you say, oh, well, that is not my family. It is family of so-and-so. They are suffering, I don't care. That's not my family. I mean, you don't feel. You are still carnal. You don't feel. And I hope that in all the situation that we have, you need to feel for what's the problem, the pain. We still remember to pray for Eunice. Man. It's not a good thing, you know, when we have family breakup. Is that true?
Yes.
You know, at the time when Brother Henry, he backslid all those years. I can't reach up to him because he's far away. I reach to him, he doesn't want to talk, so what can I say? But there must be a feeling that, yes, somebody in the family, if this breakup is no good, or you can see the children of Israel. How do you think God feel about the children of Israel, 12 tribes, fighting among themselves, and then break up into the two kingdoms? It's painful. You understand that? So remember this. The church is a unit. We all are part of that one unit. Book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. And I think that every one of us know this very well, as far as families call you young people. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Huh? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy day may be long upon the land which the Lord has given them. Honor thy father and thy mother. So remember, young people, these are part of it, of life too. Then we see Colossians 3:2. In the family unit, or even here as a family, we all consider ourselves a family of God. Every young one are children. Every older one, we all consider we are parents to them. We also watch over them. Not your children is your children, my children is my children. Okay, every one of us, we need to have to do what need to. Huh? Colossians 3:21, provoke not, huh? That is true, so important that we should not provoke the children. Colossians 3:21. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Ephesians 6:4. And you, father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, it says father, it is a mother. You all know that. Why is it father? We know that mother is all to take care of most of the baby all the time. But why is it father? Because you're the head. If the father is the head, if we don't lead, then we have a problem. There's always one thing that we always should know as parents. That when you discipline a child, between you and your wife, when any of you discipline a child, let the other one keep silent. That's very important. Even though you disagree, keep silent. Never argue when you are one of them discipline a child. If a father disciplines a child, the mother says, that's not the way, this is not the way to do it, that's not the way to discipline your child, then that child will come over to the mother's side and will hide under the mother's skirt. And if the mother disciplines the child, the daddy says, that is not the way, that's not the way, then what happened? He will come under, hide behind the father's trousers. And they'll stop building nests on your head. When I discipline my son and my daughter, friends don't like it. I use a belt. You know. And but she didn't say a thing. Let them cry. Then we go out and tell them, do you know why we have to discipline you? Then give them a hug and tell them. They understand the reason. But if parents fight among the children in front of the children over discipline, you have a problem. It's always been that way. Okay? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, when we talk about discipline also in a home, remember it's still the same in the church. God will apply the same discipline. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, train up a child in a way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. He will always remember. You always remember. And I believe my sons all will remember. I remember he's the one who complained to my mom, to his mother. The daddy is bounding is worse than your cane. You know, do you remember? Oh, then how did this behave? Mark chapter 7. A few more just verses and we'll just close. I want to talk about the church and the family life, and we all are, all met how? All family life or all the church life, we're all interrelated. Huh? But what is the first and most terrible diseases that can destroy a person? Let us look into what it says here in the verses of Scripture. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20 to 23. Mark, if I get the right verse. Okay, Mark chapter 7, 20. And he said, that which come out of the man, that defile man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all this evil come from within and defile the man. That was Jesus saying, it's not what you eat. Even though I had food poisoning, it's still come out the other end. What goes in one end will come out the other end. But that don't defile the man. That's only the physical body. But what really defiles the man, that's you, not the physical body. The real you, your spirit, your soul, is what comes out from inside you, what comes out from the mouth. Right? And what is it? Look at the whole list of it. Evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. We think evil of so and so, evil of so and so. Adulteries. Fornication. Murders. You commit adultery in your mind, fornication in the mind, murder in the mind, up here, theft in your mind, covetousness in the mind, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, the pride, the foolishness, all these things. It's all begin the eye here in the battlefield. Proverbs 6. You wonder how much the Lord dealt with us with the book that He has written, this 66 book here. If you look through your concordance, type pride, type foolishness, type tap, covetousness, you see a whole list of it. God is reminding us in so many places in the Old Testament to the New Testament. Keep reminding His people. Unlike other religion, or the extremists in trying to kill people, here the Bible focuses on love, focus on yourself, the kind of character you are. Is that the truth? And look at Confucius. I mean, he was a great philosopher. And his thoughts are good. I saw a senior mentor, I mean senior, you know, minister, who is that? What do you call it? Mentor. Minister mentor. He took to that teaching. And applied it in his life. Because there are good thoughts. If we all should be like what God has told us to do, we will be like Confucius, having good thoughts. This is a good philosophy. Does our Bible say that there is anything of any virtue? Think on these things. Right? Yeah. Because that's what is coming out from inside us. whether it's good or bad. You know, and we know the Bible, Jesus said that, you know, a fruit tree cannot bring forth sweet and sour. So if we are banning the seed of God, we cannot bring forth sour fruits or anything that is contrary. If it is, that means the root itself is corrupt to begin with. Alright. Proverbs 6. 16 to 19. These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hence the shed innocent blood, heart that devise wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lie, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That's seven. We read early on in the whole list of it, different kinds. But here it said, six things of the Lord hit, seven are an abomination. If it can eat 60, they behold it is 60. It's what God already hit. But even if you add one more, if you add that, if you fulfill all these seven, you are an abomination to God. Now look at all the seven here. What do you think is the most important? That is the top of the pie. What do you think is the out of these seven? Which is the one that is eating in practically people's life? And that's one of the things that really God doesn't like and brought the downfall of many people. What is that? What do you think is the one that is? Is it the one that the soul discord among brethren? What is the one that is the most thing that happened? A lying tongue? Or a proud look? The proud look is number one. The proud look, the pride is one thing that tops the list. Huh? Yes. A proud look, the pride. That's why I wrote in my book in sincerity. Pride will not bow down to humility. Find it hard for you to change. Find to absorb and say, yes, I'm wrong. No. There's always the twisting and the turning of words. It's sad, over the years we see. But you know, there might come a time that we have to do what early church do. If the Holy Spirit would do what he did on the day of Pentecost to Ananias and Sapphira for lying, that's one thing. Or pride. Because pride turns the person to lie. You understand one thing? You did something wrong, you say, no, you're not wrong, you lied. You turn here, you turn there, you turn this. So over the years we have, well, brethren that disappear from our church, sisters that disappear from our church because of the pride. I remember years ago, we had a couple that were in our fellowships. And all the strange opinion that they have about Chinese New Year, we cannot give red packet, and a woman's hair, when it must be let loose, cannot be bundled up or tied up into a ponytail or pigtail. Must be let loose. And you have time to explain what the Bible teaches that. The Bible is silent on how you keep your hair. At least you have long hair. But how you tie up your hair, you want to put all that out and put a bonnet on it, it's okay. You want to plait it up neatly and tidy it up, fine. In Bible they say it must be let loose all the way. But you see the pride, oh, that's our revelation. Go ahead. Any revelation is not supported by the Word of God. It's not a revelation. It's just your opinion. And your pride to say, yeah, this is the way that God showed me. Okay, fine. You know, and of course they have all this other problem that we have. The failure to admit that you have broken the scripture. You have broken authority. You have undermined the church. You have undermined the word of the Lord. You twist and you turn and twist and turn. And you lie. You know, these are the things which the Bible tells are lying tongues. Help their devise wicked imagination. And feet they be swift in running to mischief even. So, you know, don't let the disappointment come upon yourself. Even as Bob Graham said, there's coming a disappointment. A great disappointment. But don't let that come upon your life. Because you see, it won't be. Even though I'm disappointed because of what happened, but as far as my life is concerned, I don't want my life to be a disappointment to the Lord. Because we are all answerable to the Lord. Yes. Isn't it true? You're not answerable to me. You're answerable to the Lord. But as far as church is concerned, I mean the authority, if anything I need to deal with it, I have to deal with it. And if you think that I did it wrong, then come see me where I was wrong. Because I'm not perfect. But now I'm using the word the best I know how to use the word, because the word is the judge. See? Over the years back then, you know, as I told you, one of the sisters, what she did. It's okay if she wants to cut her hair. But she gave the excuse, all the lies and everything, all right. And he said nothing. So it was fine that she was weak and she was having excuses. Then she started going out there and having Leotech and dancing a gym, a fitness thing. And I told her, I said, you shouldn't be doing that. It's not the right thing to do with all the men watching you wearing Leotech. Or Leotard. I don't know, Leotech or Leotard. The body hugging pants. You know. So I need to exercise and all that. So I said, you need to exercise at home, you can dance at home, you know. You don't have to do it then. All you need is just put a board on the floor, jump up and down, that's what they did then. And then of course, I said, well, that's your life. You know. And then after that, found that, so the man likes me, the instructor. I said, stay with the believer. And you're getting all that. Well, she did this, she did that, over there, talked to her. She left and went to some churches and all that. Then she came back. And I looked at her, she was all pale and she says, what happened to you? Huh? She said, I was pregnant by the man and all these things and I bought a child. You turn from one sin to another, one sin to another. I've given you grace, don't do it, don't go this way, don't go this way, don't go this way. How many times do I have to tell you? She said, about the child, okay? She caught up in all that sin. But the thing that got me into the place where I could tell you have to go was when she told me. I went to the Methodist church, they said, I have the Holy Spirit. Now you are defying me. You have the Holy Spirit, you dare tell me you have the Holy Spirit. And you go out there, flooding with men like this, doing all that gym thing with the leotard, and cutting off your hair and giving all the excuses, saying it was the lies, the doctor says, all this and that. Then I say, oh, the sister of long hair must have lies. And now you tell me, you dare to defile it, tell me, when I go into the Methodist church, the pastor says, I have the Holy Spirit. So you look at me right now, tell me whether you have the Holy Spirit. Look at my eye and tell me now. Right now, right here. So keep quiet. I said, time and time again, you're so rebellious. So now you go. Don't come back. She left. She tried to get back here. Twice or three times she tried to come back. I told her no. You know one thing? You give a person grace, one thing, the mercy. How many times do we have to give? So that's why I was being, you know, blamed for a lot of things. The Bible said, on the day of Pentecost, Ananias and Sapphira was not even given any grace. They died there and then. So, you want me to do that? Give the person no grace? But what did Jesus say? After second admonition, let the man be a, you know, after second admonition, let him cast him out as a heretic. What about the case over there in Corinthians? The man who have his father's wife. There are a lot of fornication going on. Apostle singled out that particular one. Say, get him out. Now, applying grace and mercy is not that so easy for us. Huh? But when you rebel against the Lord, rebel against the Lord, the church as a family must always remember one thing. There should not be any black sheep. Every one of us are sheep. Let us produce wool. And when the cold comes in, you know what happened to the sheep when they are out there in the field? When they the cold spell comes in? What did the sheep do? They huddled among themselves. Do you know that? They huddled among themselves. Even the penguin, the emperor penguin, remarkable creature, when they march long distance, they march in a group. Huh? The one that take the front and the side are the one that bear the brunt of the cold. But after they go over a certain kilometer, they will move in, the one that is inside will move out and take over. They take turns, sir. That's why they care for one another, that's how they survive. You know. So we're talking about the body. Let us provoke one another to love. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, 25, 26. He that is of a proud heart stir up strife. I always remember all these verses. You are proud, you will stir up strife. That's for sure. That's how our family left the church like that. You know. It's hard to be humble. He that is of a proud heart stir up strife. But he that put his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. For whosoever walk wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Remember, wherever you go, you'll be tempted. This is a problem that you won't trust in his own heart. We must always know our weakness. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and a few other verses we close. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3 to 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to his to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing. But don't think about question and stripes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men's of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great. That is so true. Don't think about. You do not know he is proud. See the words for he is proud. It's always the word proud come first. Knowing nothing. But don't think about question and stripes of word. Well, come with envy, strife, even surmising. Then you think lie, you speak all sorts of things. I remember many years ago, during one of our Friday gathering, many of you were not around. That's many years ago. In the discussion of the words that God said to Moses, they had it penned down. My spirit will not strive with man. His days are numbered 120 years. That brother asked me what it was. I mean, back in those days, I already taught this before. But apparently the question was asked to challenge me. So I explained to them what it was. And you know what happened? After I explained it, the brother dared to say the word that, my goodness, some of you were there too, you might remember. He said, "Brother Gann, is that gasology?" Wow. Is that gasology? So he's saying, I'm guessing. When I told him that 120 years pertains to the man's life will be lowered to 120 years. You all know that, don't you? Do you know that you can live up to 120 years? Then I said, no. I said, if you don't believe it, then what do you think it is? Oh, the Lord showed me. The Lord showed to us, me and my wife, that 120 was the year it took Noah to build the ark. Good for you. Going good. I said, go and calculate. You mean you're telling me the 120 of Noah wasn't even married? Huh? He don't even have a child. And yet, he wants to help him. Go and calculate. What was the year that Noah was with Ham, Shem, and Japheth? What year was he married? What year was Noah married? At the age of, no, let's go to Genesis, you forgot. Okay, go to Genesis in the genealogy. In the genealogy. Alright. In the genealogy, let's see. Chapter, what's the genealogy of? Genealogy, okay, in chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 32. Noah was 500 years when he had a son, right? Correct? Yes or no? Noah was 500 years when he gave birth to the first child. What year was the flood? Okay, go look at chapter 7. Alright, in the 600 years of Noah's life, second man, something near the man, the same day where all the fountain of the deep burst open. 600 years. So there is a gap of 100 years from 500 to 600, so 100 years. So, what up to 20 years means Noah was 580 years, he started collecting wood by himself. He wasn't even married yet. He collected wood by himself, prepared everything by himself. And even after 20 years, when he gave birth to his child, first child born, 600, little baby can help him carry wood. Maybe another 20 years before, they grow up enough to help him. So where did he get 120 years that he stopped building the ark? Does it really take 120 years to build the ark? I said, yes, a traditional preaching, they always said so. It has always been. Read many books, you can see. The preacher always tell you that. 120 was 100 was take 120 to Birya. Imam Tati Brahman also quote like this and said it. It's very common for people to just say it. Okay, after you get your revelation, say, okay. But don't be so defiant. Have no respect. It's the cosmology. So you are better, you know, have more knowledge than I do. Okay. Not that you are, not that I'm never wrong. But when you're the proof of the scripture, somebody shares something, let us have respect for one another. To say, that's cosmology. Is that cosmology? Man. So, you see, the pride will cause a person to do all this and say all kinds of things, and then what? Goes. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to chapter 1, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1. You see, here we have the last day. Okay. These know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own self. Wonderful. When you love yourself, you must be proud. I love myself. I have a car, I'm so handsome, and big houses. Lover of your covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accuser, incontinent. You know what incontinence is? Incontinent. Doesn't mean that he always go pee. Always leaking. That's what you use in nursery, yeah? In nursing, in the hospital. Oh, he's incontinent. Man, every time baby come out of my house, you know, just speak out of all kinds of things that is not true. Just continue going on. Just let loose everything. Fierce, despiser of those that are good. When you're proud, you tend to be fierce. Heady, high-minded, traitor, lover of pleasure, more than lover of God. Have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. But of this sort are they which creep into houses and let captivity silly woman, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Now as general and jumblers, which do most also do this, this also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as their also was. You wonder, City Harvest case, is that a folly? Wanted to go into MTV and then manipulate the fun and oh. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction which cometh unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endure. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the thing which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. This is Paul talking to Timothy. James, two more verses. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Excuse me. James chapter 4 and verse 10 to 12. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speak evil of his brother and judge his brother, speaketh evil of the Lord and judge the Lord. But if thou judge the Lord, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judged one another? 1 Peter 5, 5 to 6. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the older one. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and evil and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. May the Lord help us all. I know that there will always be friction between brothers and sisters. Remember that. And sometimes the word we say, when you say in such a way that you offend a brother, when a brother told you or the sister told you, that's not the way you should say. But you don't care. And if you don't care, what do you think is going to happen? What would you think is going to happen? Some people don't think, you know, that sometimes your word can be very provocative. Or in a matter that hurts someone bad. And the brother told you that you shouldn't be talking like this. And if someone tells you like this, be quick to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But don't say that what you say is correct. It's from the Lord. Everything is from the Lord. The way you say it is correct, and you're never wrong. You know? You understand that? You always say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Forgive me. And say it from your heart, really, truthfully. But because of pride, you don't care. You don't say, I'm not saying. That's why. And the proud. I tell you one thing, God is going to cut off the proud. The Bible tells us all these things. God is giving us warning. God is not a proud God. If He is a proud God, He wouldn't want to come down and savior me. He would not even bother saying, Jesus is going to savior me. He would just let the whole nation of everyone perish. You see, when God's grace and mercy, He came down to give us an example. And only agape will enter in. And that's why we need to be kept by the agape. Amen? God bless all of you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, and thank you for the word of truth, Lord. So many of the things you have said, written in the word, that we need to learn and follow, Lord Father, and follow true, Lord, Lord, and that in our life may be worthy of the gospel. That truly, when we say we are Christian, we are Bible believers, then we ought to have that life of Christ in us, Lord. And we know, first of all, that thou art love, thou art agape, and you came down, Lord, to show us the way of what love is all about. And you came to serve and not to be served, Father. You send your Lord Jesus Christ to express that what you are to us all. And that's why in Christ Jesus we see Him, we see you, Father. For thou art manifesting in your life in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, for us to see and to learn. So Father, we thank you. Help us, O Lord. Once again, Father, we commit all that which we have in our hearts. And the Lord, you touch the souls of every one of us too, Lord. Keep us, Father, in the way that we should go. And the Lord, as each passing day comes and goes, Lord, we are looking towards the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we always cry now, we always cry in our heart, Lord, this very word, Maranatha. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because the day that we live in, I'm perilous and more wicked than ever before. And we are longing for home, Father. And no, we know that we are not home yet. And you still are dealing with us, preparing our hearts, preparing our spirit and our life, Father, that we may receive the glory of the blessed hope. So we thank you, Father. Bless today, now we come in Jesus' name. Amen.